We've been in Romans, and we left off on verse 16 last week in Romans chapter 11, and we're going to read verse 16 again, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 24. So Romans chapter 11, verses, we're going to study 17 through 24 tonight, but let's read verse 16, and you'll remember we talked about this. It says, if the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And we talked about that verse. And you notice that verse leaves off on, so are the branches. And then look at verse 17. But if some, you notice not all, but if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. In other words, don't be arrogant toward the branches, I think, that were torn out, broken off. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, the branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. In other words, have godly fear, godly reverence. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity to those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will be cut off. And even they, if, we're going to talk about that word if tonight, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these natural branches be grafted back into their own olive? And let's pray tonight. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, this is your word, and we approach it, Lord, with reverence and with respect and with godly fear, Lord. And we pray that you would, that your word would just go down in our hearts, Lord. Let us know, let us understand, and let this increase our faith, God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So we're going to look at verse 17. Verse 17, he starts off and he says, but if some of the branches were broken off and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, and then it ends with a comma. So in other words, the verse ends in the middle of a sentence. Let me just say this. It says that, first of all, I want to talk about the end of this where it talks about the nourishing root of the olive tree. Branches got broken off, didn't they? But there wasn't anything wrong with the root. Okay? There was nothing wrong with the root. The root was a nourishing root. And it says that we now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree. And if you look, as far as being the root, Jesus said this, and in John 15, he wasn't talking about an olive tree, he was talking about a grapevine, but look at this. And bear in mind, before, I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of nursery talk, but I did work at a fruit tree nursery as their accounting manager for about 16 years. So I know about the whole process of grafting and all of that. And believe it or not, even with grapes, you have a grape root stock. And a grafter can graft any variety. You've heard of Thompson seedless, or you've heard of flame grapes, or, you know, whatever grapes, table grapes that you would buy, or whether it be a wine grape such as a Cabernet Sauvignon or whatever. You have your grape rooting. You can graft whatever variety onto that rooting there is. Okay, so this is what Jesus says. I am the true vine. In other words, I'm that root. I am that rooting. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And then in verse 3, he says, verses 4, 5, and 6, he says, sorry about that, Bill, that's my error. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. And then one last verse. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. And so when he said that some branches were broken off here in Romans 11, Paul is making the analogy of an olive tree. Jesus made a very similar analogy using a grapevine. And when you look, it says that some of the branches were broken off. God broke them off. And if you look that in Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, when Paul said that, he was very, very well versed in Old Testament. Jeremiah said it this way, go up through her vine rows and destroy, but make not a full end. Strip away her branches, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have been utterly treacherous to me, declares the Lord. So here's Jeremiah talking about branches being done away with because they had done treacherously. And then you look in Jeremiah again a few chapters later in Jeremiah 11, verses 16 and 17, it says, the Lord once called you a green, olive tree. And Paul is talking about an olive tree here in Romans 11. And it says, the Lord once called you a green olive tree, beautiful, with good fruit. But with the roar of a great tempest, he will set fire to it, and its branches shall be consumed. And the Lord of hosts has planted you, has decreed disaster against you because the evil that the house of Israel and the house of Judah have done, provoking me to anger. So that, you see, that's, he's talking about an olive tree and branches being removed. And then Jesus even told the Pharisees in Matthew 21. In Matthew 21, Jesus told the Pharisees, therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God's going to be taken away from you. I'm going to take it away from you and give it to a people that will actually produce the fruit that I'm for. In other words, you guys as branches are going to be removed. Other branches are going to produce fruit are going to be put in. And you look at verse 18 then of the next verse in Romans 11, he says this. He says, okay, you guys were branches that were, you know, you were grafted in. Okay? You were grafted in, but don't be arrogant toward the branches. Don't be arrogant. It is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, let's look at this. This is, Carl likes looking at the NLT sometimes. And I jumped over into the NLT. Do we have that in the database or no? And, okay, let me just read it. And it looks like this is in the NIV is fine because I've also got that. But let me read this out of the NLT. The NLT says this. It says, but you must not brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off. You are just a branch, not a root. Just remember, you're a branch, not a root. And the NIV says, you do not support the root. The root supports you. What was going on? I'm going to tell you what I think. Paul was warning these Gentiles not to fall into the same traps their predecessors, the Jews, did. The Jews came to think that God over a barrel, that they were his people and that he was somehow dependent on them. But let me tell you something. When it comes to salvation, it's all God and it's none of us. God doesn't need us. God didn't need them. Jesus says, listen, I can raise up seed to Abraham from these stones on the ground. I don't need anybody or anything. And so Paul is saying, listen, guys, yes, those branches got removed and you got grafted in, but don't be arrogant and feel that you are somehow better. Okay. And verse 19, it even goes further. And it says, then you will say, and in order to really understand verse 19, there needs to be emphasis. The way that this is said in the Greek, I'm going to emphasize this word right here. Paul says, then you guys, you know, in your arrogance, in your pride, say, you're going to say, branches were broken off so that I, God, had to get some of these branches out of the way to make room. That's what Paul is saying in this passage. He's saying don't have that kind of an attitude, saying, yeah, branches had to be broken off to make room for me, so that because I was the one that I, you know, because God really wanted to have me. Well, God didn't tear those branches off to make room for you guys or me because we're so much better. And in fact, Paul addresses that in the very next verse. And he says, then, in the very next verse, he says, this is true. They were broken off because there needed to be room for you? No. Paul says, no, that's not the reason they were broken off. They weren't broken off to make room for you. They were broken off because of their unbelief. But you need to stand fast through faith and do not become proud, but instead have godly reverence. Have godly reverence and fear. And verse 20, it says, they were broken off because of their unbelief. Verse 21, for if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. And I want to, if I can make a nursery illustration here. I worked for about 16 years in that. And here's what they wanted. Here's what you wanted with fruit trees. You've got peaches that start ripening, believe it or not. Down in California, you have early varieties of peaches that start coming off in late April, early May. First week in May, you've got peaches. Right. Okay. Then there are other varieties that some come off in June, mid-June, July. And then you've got peaches that don't get ripe all the way until mid to late September down in California. And so what you are doing as a nursery is you want to develop a variety that fits some little window of time where nothing's really coming off, okay? And so you're always doing what you get these guys, and they'll go out in the orchard and, or they'll have this little test block and they'll cross-pollinate. They'll get this variety and rub them together. And it looks kind of silly out, them guys out there doing that, but they will cross-pollinate these and try to develop a new variety of peach. Okay? But here's the problem. Here's the problem. You can get a great peach. You can get a great peach or nectarine or plum. Believe it or not, I don't want to bore you guys here. Believe it or not, you can graft a plum onto a peach rootstock. Really, there is. The two main kinds of peach rootstocks you've got are Nemigard and Lovell. And nobody here has ever heard of nematodes, have you? Okay, gardening. Okay. Up here, Kristen, the soil is very clay-like, so you don't get a lot of nematodes. Hardly any at all. Down in California, the soil is much more sandy. And nematode is a parasite that lives in the soil, and it will latch onto the tree roots, and it'll kill a tree. And so Nemigard guards against nematodes, okay? And you can plant a peach, a nectarine, or a plum all on a peach rootstock, okay? And they'll grow. In fact, you can even have, this sounds crazy, but you can even have a tree with this branch will be a peach, this branch over here, a nectarine, this branch over here will be a plum. You can have three varieties growing on. Or you could have them all be peaches, but this branch be one variety. And okay, you get what I'm saying. Here's the deal. You start forming these new varieties, there's genetic flaws that sometimes don't show up for 4 or 5 years. So you've got this new variety that you say, man, this is hot. We're going to put a patent on this, and we're going to be able to sell this and get royalties on it. And you start getting this thing out there, and guess what? After the fourth year, all of a sudden, have you ever opened a peach, bite into a peach, and the pit was split? Yuck. Or as my mom would say, shill. Or have you ever seen a peach or a plum that it just splits before it gets ripe? It'll split right where the stem is. It'll just split open. Okay? Those are genetic flaws that sometimes don't show up until the fourth or fifth or even the sixth year. So here you have this peach that you're really excited about, and all of a sudden it develops this genetic flaw. Does that mean you need to go and dig up the whole tree and throw the whole tree away? Oh, no. Oh, no. It's called grafting over. You just graft it over to something else. You go over there, you cut the limb off, the branch, as Paul was talking about. Cut the branch off, and you're going to have some, we call it budwood, and you're going to graft those buds on, and you're just going to start all over with another variety that's going to produce the right kind of fruit. And fruit that doesn't have these genetic flaws. And Paul was saying, listen, there's nothing wrong with the rooting. There's nothing wrong with the rooting. The problem was the branches. And they could be removed and other branches grafted in. And Paul was here saying, listen, you guys don't get proud, because if God didn't spare the natural branches that belonged on the tree in the first place, do you think he's going to, that you're going to be any different if you mess around like they did? And see, that's the whole deal, is that you've heard the old saying, those that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it, right? I read something the other day that said that there are those that don't learn from history, and so they're doomed to repeat it. And then there's those of us who just sit around, unable to do anything, watching other people repeat history. Okay. And that's kind of, but the deal is Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, and I wish I would have had this in my notes. He said, all these things happened. He said this to in Corinthians. He said, all those things that happened to them in the Old Testament happened for our example. They happened for our teaching. In other words, we need to learn from the mistakes that the people of God made in the Old Testament. And people that backslid away from God, we need to learn from their mistakes, because if God doesn't spare the natural branches, if we make those same mistakes that they made, he's not going to spare us either. And that's what Paul is saying there. And then if we look at verse 22 and 23, he says, "Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you provided." I'm going to show you a condition, a conditional statement. It says, "But kindness to you provided." Another word for provided would be if. Okay, "but God's kindness to you if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even they, if," there's that conditional word again here, "if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God has the power to graft them in again." God has the power to graft them in again, but there's a certain condition that's got to be met here. If they do not continue in unbelief. And we can stay part of this tree if we continue in his kindness, provided you, or if you continue. So absolute, unconditional promises guaranteeing salvation to either Gentiles or Jews, no matter how they live or exist, that exists only in people's imaginations. According to this verse here, there's, again, I showed you, it says provided, that's a conditional if, and then here it is down here again, if. So the idea that God is just going to reach down and save unbelieving people, you know, that kind of idea just, it does not exist in Scripture, it only exists in people's minds. Verse 24, and this is, believe it or not, the last verse that we're covering tonight. I really kind of zipped through here tonight. "If you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree?" I know that verse is almost self-explanatory, but let me just say a couple of things about it. It says that we were wild olive trees grafted contrary to nature. Now, when it says we, he's not talking to us. He was talking to those first century Christians in Rome. And first century Gentile Christians, what had they come out of? I know they had come out of the world. Okay, you said idolatry, paganism, and Kristen, what did you? A few of the Gentiles were like Jewish proselytes. Yeah, but he's talking to the Gentiles here because he says you were cut from a wild olive tree. Okay? And I tell too many stories, but can I just tell one quick one, very short? I promise, I'll keep it short. And Sister Wiggins says, "Man, I've heard these stories so many times." Me and my dad, we would always go out deer hunting in the fall of the year. Okay, and in the Central Sierra, once in a great while, you'll find, we call them crab apple trees, and they're a wild, notice the verse here says wild olive tree. And there was one time, we went down, we called it the apple orchard. There's this little place, they were actually planted, but they were basically just kind of gone wild. Anyway, but I mean, we're talking in the woods on National Forest. And we gathered some of those apples because they were coming ripe right at the end of, you know, deer season falls in September when, you know, apples are coming ripe. And we took those back to camp, and my mom made an apple pie out of them. My mom was always cooking and stuff. And she made an apple pie, and we had some vanilla ice cream, and I cannot tell you how good it was. Just there, my dad had two camping trailers, and me and Sister Wiggins, this is one camping trailer, and our boys, and they were in my mom and dad's big camp trailer. And my mom made an apple pie. I cannot tell you how good it was. Well, the next year, we're out there deer hunting in the woods, and we get out in the middle of the woods, and here's this crabapple tree, not one of these planted ones that had been planted. And my dad said, "Hey, Timmy, let's get," I was, you know, 35 years old, but I'm still Timmy. And he says, "Hey, Timmy, why don't we get a big mess of these apples and take them back and have Joanne," that'd be my mom, "have Joanne make us another one of those pies like she made last year." And I said, "Oh, man, let's do that." And boy, we gathered up a good bunch of those things and took them to my mom, and she made them up, and we ate them. I don't know what happened, and maybe some of y'all can explain it to me, but this was off of a wild, totally wild crabapple tree that was out in the forest. No, it hadn't been a cultivated apple tree. It was a wild crabapple. And I ate that, and about 2 hours later, I started getting a bellyache. And I've heard of little kids eating too much candy and getting bellyaches. Well, I was almost 40 years old, and I mean, I started getting a bellyache. And I mean, abdominal cramps, if you will. And I thought, what is wrong with me? Am I getting sick? And my dad, their camping trailer had a bathroom in it. And he came out of that bathroom, and boy, his face's color wasn't quite right. He goes, "I've just got stomach cramps, something fierce. I don't know what's gone wrong. I don't know what's happened to me." And I said, "Dad, I have the same thing." And he looked at me, and we looked at each other, and they said, "The crab apples. It was the crab apples that did it." You know what? My mom made another apple pie the next year, but we bought the apples at the store and took them up there with us because we had fresh apple pie the next year, but we weren't going to get any more wild apples. Okay? And I mean, to me, that's a romanticized man, go out there in the woods and gather some stuff. Yeah, sometimes that works and sometimes that don't. Okay? And that was a wild, not a cultivated apple tree. That was a wild apple tree. And he says, if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated apple tree. In other words, Paul was telling those first century Gentiles, listen, you were, you know, here a few years ago, you were worshiping idols, you were worshiping pagan deities, you were, you know, offering sacrifices unto demons. You were cut from a wild olive tree. And God has grafted you into a cultivated olive tree. And you stuck. And it's worked. And so if you, coming from a wild crabapple, if you will, tree, if you can work out and get grafted into this good olive tree, how much more would it be easy for God to graft the natural branches back in? And now I'm going to give you one little bit of commentary, and this is just my opinion, okay? Okay? You notice he said wild olive versus cultivated olive. And then there would be some branches that would be cultivated olive branches that could be grafted in, right? Am I right? Folks, you don't have to agree with me. Don't have to agree with me on this, okay? When you think of San Francisco, what's one of the first words that come to your mind? Rice-a-roni, okay? I mean, that's Ghirardelli, chocolate, sure. I mean, we're okay. Alcatraz. What's something else? Huh? Okay, now think of the people. Think of the culture. I guess we just lived too long in California. Gay. San Francisco is one of the gayest cities in the United States. Okay. Believe it or not, New Orleans, Louisiana, another gay town. Okay. Can I tell you a town that's as gay as San Francisco is? Tel Aviv, Israel. Tel Aviv, Israel. You know, you got Jerusalem, you got Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv, Israel has a ginormous gay population, okay? I don't think that those people would qualify as a cultivated branch. Paul's talking about grafting back in cultivated branches, not wild olives. And listen, people that are living like the devil. But I will tell you what is going on in Israel right now is there are some, their eyes are blinded. They do not know. They do not believe in Jesus Christ as Messiah. But there are, howbeit small, there is a remnant of believing Jews that they are reading their Torah. They are praying their prayers. They are waiting for Messiah. They are going to synagogue. They are listening to the teaching, even though the rabbi that's teaching them is probably corrupt. But there are people over there. They're not wild olive branches. They're cultivated olive branches. In other words, they're not people living in Tel Aviv that are living a homosexual lifestyle. These are people that are wanting to, they believe in the Bible, they believe in the Old Testament, they believe, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. They believe the commandments. They believe, and they read it, they study it, they believe it. It's in their hearts. Those are the cultivated branches, folks, not the hooligans. I heard a comedian, Jewish comedian over in Tel Aviv. She says, everybody gets on us because we killed Jesus Christ. And they say that he's coming back again. And she says, well, I hope he does so we can kill that so-and-so again. That's a wild olive branch, folks. I'm sorry. You can't say just, well, you better watch out. She's an Israelite and God, no. Unless she repents of her sins. That's a wild olive branch, folks. But there are people over there right now that still pray, still read their Old Testament scriptures. They go to synagogue and they are wanting to be right with God. And Paul is speaking of those kind of people. And he says, if you guys were all wild olive branches and he grafted you in, how much easier is it going to be for him to take some cultivated olive branches and graft them in? And so so the last thing I'm going to say tonight is this. And I don't want to get into this all again and again and again. It seems like I talk about dispensationalism and all of this stuff. But I can remember being taught that, you know, you've got the church, the Gentile church, and you've got Israel. And you've got, I heard one man teach, and he said, you've got two peoples of God with two different plans and with two different ultimate destinies. Okay? Two people, two plans, two different destinies. How many olive trees do we have here in Romans 11? There's one olive tree. And there are cultivated branches on that, and there are wild branches that were grafted in, but there's only one olive tree. The church is one living organism for both Jews and Gentiles. Salvation is the same. There is no two peoples with two different plans of salvation. and two different destinies. No, there is one olive tree. And just be thankful that you're a branch on that olive tree, okay? Only one olive tree. Amen. I'm done here tonight. Is there any questions or comments before we dismiss tonight? Any questions or comments? Okay. Well, let's all stand tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll